Did you see that someone put a microphone under?
Yep, I did. I was walking into the bathroom today to Tinkle Pop, and I saw the notification, and I was like, ooh.
I looked at it, and I said, not today. Not today. I'm tired.
Was not even. I wasn't expecting that.
And you're here with us on Teachers Who Talk Crime
podcast.
I can't even recreate it because my voice is just so exhausted from the day.
Yeah,
but that was fire.
Well, I feel like we got to bring it because this is the final countdown. Okay, I messed up the beat there. This is the last episode
of season one. And I've been so busy setting up my classroom and getting ready for school. The first day of school is Monday. I'm so exhausted and I'm so sorry that my energy is not where it needs to be for a season finale, but I'm going to get it together. I promise you, I'm going to get it together.
You got this.
What's the you fake it till you make it.
You do.
You know?
You do.
Yeah.
And you know, this, we've made it. We've made it 34 episodes.
Yep.
And taught the youth and the children of America.
Yes.
While having 34 episodes out there.
Yes. So thanks for rocking out with us. Brooke's boyfriend was like, so you guys aren't going to take a break? And I feel like at this point in our podcast journey, we can't take a break yet.
No, we're still growing.
We're still growing. But when we get big enough, what we hope is that, like, when we have breaks, like winter break, spring break, summer break, maybe not the whole summer break, but like
Christmas
we'll take a break for ourselves, because you know we are educators and we be tired. We be tired.
Yeah,
so
yeah. But no, we're gonna roll right into season two.
Yeah, we're gonna roll right in.
It's gonna be on Labor Day, so while you out on your zoom boats and your beaches and by your pools
and drinking
and barbecuing and whatever you're doing for Labor Day, you could, just introduce the fam to Teachers Talk Crime.
Period.
And I mean, we sound even funnier when you're drunk. So, there you go.
Yes, we do. And we have some major things coming out next week. For one, new merch.
Yes. Ashley's worked very hard on these designs, guys.
I have.
I take zero credit for these.
None. I'm just really sad I couldn't bring your vision to life, but I did my best. Maybe one day we'll update it, but as for now, you know.
Well, if there's any artist out there that would like to work with us, for the free 99,
because we're poor.
Yep, for the free 99 and do some artwork, some freelance. Let us know.
Send us an email at teacherstalkcrimepodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. But we do have that.
We do. We have two designs coming out. We have the Estudiante Estrella shirt. It's in both English and Spanish. It says Star Student and Estudiante Estrella. And on the back it says, thank you so much for your review. This is all for you.
Bing. Man, we're going to get that song twice today.
Oh, yeah. We are. Yeah. So we have that one. And we have the famous...
Shut up. Mm-hmm. The murder is about to begin.
Ahora. But the ahora isn't on it. The ahora is not on it. But
just the saying.
This is just.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those are dropping. It's great. Brooke, tell them about the giveaway because that joint is popping.
Oh my God. So we do have a giveaway.
Yes, we do.
If you remember, so let's rewind it to our first ever guest happy hour. If you remember, Kristen was on there. We did the Sarah Starr case.
Yes,
if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to it.
Also, shout out to Kristen. Hey, girl.
So Kristen's dad reached out to us, and he makes cups and he makes like personalized cups. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a giveaway with these cups that Kristen's dad made us, and they are blood spatter, 30 ounce blood spatter with the Teachers Talk Crime logo and pencil knife on them. And they are so bringing in.
It's literally the cutest thing I've ever seen. I'm so excited.
Yes. I'm so ready to take it.
Yeah. So we're you if you win, you will get a cup and didn't you say they was getting a shirt too?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I just didn't want to say it, and that's not what we talked about. Okay, yep.
We talked about it.
I know, but I had already had few white claws then.
Mashed potato brain. Mm-hmm.
And a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Probably it's from our threadless line. Unless Mary, you know, Mary. Mary. You want to do us some special shirts, you know, you can throw those in there. Well, I'll ask her. She also is like almost 8 months pregnant. So probably not.
Yeah, she's not. So we'll just do it from threadless.
Yeah. She's I was like, I think you're looking much better than you did with Casey. And she goes, Brooke, I'm due in November and I am like 3 pounds away from weighing what I did with Casey.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I was like, well, you know, Mary, it's showing a little different now. It's I can't tell.
You leave Mary alone.
I said, I can't tell. Yeah.
So. Well, yeah, we have those things going on for you next week. Be there or mm-hmm. be square, because it's a great milestone for us.
It is.
It is.
It is. Mm-hmm. James walked in. He was like, oh. Like, is this how you record now? Like, you have a souped up mic. You don't have to sit in the closet anymore. You just literally get comfy in the guest bedroom and like lay under the covers and on a pillow.
Duh.
Yeah. Like we're upgrading here, babe.
If I could figure out that setup, I would also be in my bed. But I'm also afraid that because of my level of tiredness that I would fall asleep. So it's best if I sit in this chair where I currently am right now.
Yeah. Where's Trudy?
In the living room. She's in the living room with Duke. No, I recorded my room now. She said the same thing. She's like, you still record in the closet? I'm like, no, we've upgraded, baby.
Yeah, we have definitely upgraded. Mm-hmm. Y'all should see the footage.
Yeah, the footage is one day when we figure out how to do that.
You know what? We should post the closet picture.
Oh, my God. From the day throwback.
One. Yeah, from day one in the closet. Mm-hmm. I was still in my teacher clothes.
Yeah. We were trapped in the closet. Oh, man. I just said R. Kelly things. Oh, man. He's not a good person. I'm going to clip that out. I don't like him.
Yeah, God, he made some good music. He really did. It really sucks.
Like, damn.
Why do you have to be a crap person?
Like a real crap person.
Yeah. Speaking of crap people,
who?
Fun fact.
What?
Well, he's not actually a crap person. I mean, this is not really the Person of the Year award, but Fetty Wap is going to prison for like a super long time, like minimum 20 years.
For
he's
what?
In like a huge cocaine ring.
Dang.
I know.
He like, hey, what's up? Hello. I like that white powder up in my nose. Oh, God.
You only call 1738.
Yeah.
And I actually really like Fetty Wap, too.
Yo,
like,
facts.
Dang, Fetty.
He had some bangers.
Dang.
He definitely had some bangers.
That's really a shame.
Why you did that? Dang.
Oh. Yeah, I heard that. That was very disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't come out with a banger in a very long time.
He hasn't. He really hasn't. But still, like, he was spitting them out there for a while.
Man, I got this soda.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. RGF Island. Yeah.
RGF Island.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that is.
That was like his like thing that he did.
He had an island?
I don't think he actually had. That might be where his cocaine ring was. Might have been code.
Code for what?
Oh, RGFR.
Real gangsters. Real gangsters.
Real gangsta fun.
Real gangsta fun island.
Yep.
I can't.
I'm sorry, Fetty. If you ever listen to this, shout out to Fetty Wap.
Yeah, shout out to Fetty. Because so. Hey, what's up? Hello.
Oh, wow.
Yo, this is wild. What a season finale, I tell ya.
It is. I'm ready.
I'm having a good ass time.
And speaking of like shouting folks out, we ready to do our star student.
Yes, the estudiante estrella.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this one is a fresh one, like fresh out the gate. Like,
fresh out the box.
Yep. This is from Megan_Cali. And this makes me, like, literally when I told Ashley I was going to do this one, I was like, DJ Cali.
DJ Cali.
We the best.
You the best.
All the singers today.
What is going on?
I don't know. So we gave you a new name, Megan Cali. Megan Cali.
You the best.
Yep. You are. You are. Period. And your title is, I want to be their best friends. Exclamation point.
Are you want to be friends with us, DJ Cali?
5 stars. Exactly. OMG. I am absolutely obsessed. I started listening last week and I have not been able to stop. I seriously want to be best friends with Ashley and Brooke and talk all the true crime and teacher things with them. I am a teacher and I love how to make connections and talk about the changes we must make to help protect students. Love them. Well, we love you.
We love you, DJ Cali.
Yes, we do.
So, DJ Cali. Thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing, that'll be on a sweatshirt next week, so you better buy it because I worked really hard to create the design.
And another one. Isn't that what he says too?
Another one.
Another one. Man. I have side news, like Brooke news.
Okay.
I officially signed my Michelob Ultra contract, guys.
Hey, bim, 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 bim,
yeah.
Bim.
So I can talk about it now. Michelob Ultra reached out to me. This is not the same as the Bud Light stuff I was doing. That's done.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I'm not a Bud Light girl anymore as far as like events and stuff. So, but Michelob Ultra reached out to me and wanted to work. And it's a long-term contract from August to December.
Period.
And yeah, so I mean, if most of our happy hours are now sponsored by Michelob, then
oh my gosh,
they're just now sponsored by Michelob.
Wow!
So thank you, Michelob Ultra. I appreciate you.
Period.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michelob Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
Way to sponsor our girl.
Yeah. Way to pay these bills.
Yeah. So if you know, I'm not as popping as Brooke, but if you know. If anyone listening out there wants to sponsor your girl over here, because I'm also poor. You know,
Jose Cuervo, you want to sponsor our girl?
Jose? Anything tequila? The Rock?
Yeah. Patron? Huh? You out there?
Someone?
Where you at?
Donde?
Crown? Crown?
Ooh, I love me.
Those were
crown.
You liked those, yeah. Mm, you liked
yes,
those.
I did. Yes, I did. Ooh, before we get into the, you know, the thing. I do have to shout out, well, an apology to Seriously Sinister Podcast because on our last episode, I put the wrong trailer and I was confused. And again, I was working that week, so mashed potato brains. I put in the wrong trailer, but I had all the right information about their podcast. Their podcast was Seriously Sinister and it's now Live, Laugh, Larceny.
Uh-huh.
So go listen to them.
And I reached out to Trevin, who is the host of that podcast, and he said that, because I was also very, very confused, and he said that they changed their name when they moved networks. So they had sent us 2 trailers, and we apologized, and he completely understands, but we are sorry.
So now he's getting back-to-back week promos. So
exactly.
So hashtag live laugh larceny.
Go follow Trevin at live laugh larceny.
Mm-hmm. And with that being said, hit him with a Brooke.
Okay. And another one.
Another one.
Sit down, shut up. Season one is about to end.
We the best.
New hit music.
Disclaimer, Ashley and Brooke are just two teachers with opinions about true crimes. So they decided to make a podcast. Sit back, grab your load of teas, and let the crime lesson begin.
All right, guys. So today what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the UK for today's lesson. And I need to go back and check the stats to see, like, how many episodes we've done from the UK. Because I feel like we've done a decent amount.
We have. You keep talking and I'll look that up.
Yeah, because every time I look, it's just like UK, UK. I'm like, dang, I don't know if I ever want to go to the UK now. Because it seems like y'all breed a lot of killers.
Mm-hmm.
And young ones at that. So,
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's es un no para mí. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin. What in the world is happening?
What's that? Not really sure.
We're going to get it together. It's fine. You got this, Ashley. Season finale. Don't let them down. Okay. So we're going to begin our lesson on June 6, 1992. So we have 18-year-old Katie Ratcliffe. She was working in a hair salon and had dreams of opening her own salon one day. And she recently broke up with her boyfriend. And just like typical breakups, Katie was not handling it very well. And it had gotten so bad that her friend, her best friend, literally had to drag her out of the house to get her out of her funk.
Yeah, that's Mary, I remember when, I remember the narcissistic, abusive one that I dated. I was living with Mary at the time, and we had ended things. And I came home, and she had flowers for me, and the card just said, "Because he never did."
Shout out to Mary.
I know. That's one of my core memories.
Shout out to Mary.
Mm-hmm. So kudos to this best friend.
That's really dope. So on June 6, 1992, Katie and her best friend hit the town, and they went to a local pub slash nightclub called Ragamuffins. Right?
That's a perfect name for a bar. I tell Casey all the time she's looking like a ragamuffin.
Yes.
I do not. I'm like, girl, your hair don't know which way it wants to go.
You know, it's just ragamuffin behavior.
You ragamuffin vibes.
And Ragamuffin was in Camberley. Okay. So on all accounts, things were going great. Katie's having a good time out with her friend, keeping her mind off her ex-boyfriend. However, when the pub closed at 4 a.m., Katie and her friend got separated during the let out. Now, I don't know if this is a popular term for when a bar or club or whatever you are at is closing and everybody is leaving, because me and my friends call it the let out. I don't know.
Okay. Mm-mm.
No, it's just like closing time.
It's just close. Last call.
Okay. Because we always try to leave before the let out, because that's when things like pop off and nobody
also
wants to.
Yeah. None of our bars stay open till 4 a.m.
I mean, I was from New York, so we had some pretty late clubs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I forget where we're from. We're different.
So during the let out, Katie and her friend got separated and couldn't seem to find each other. Now, one of my sources said that Katie lived about 7 kilometers or close to 4.5 miles away from the pub. So it was thought that she either flagged a taxi or caught a ride home from someone. However, another source said that she was just walking home. So I'm not sure which one is right, but nonetheless, she started to make moves to go home by herself.
4 miles is kind of far to walk.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
No.
I mean, I hate running 5Ks, but I mean, I used to do them frequently. I'm going to get back into it. I got to get my life together. Yeah.
I'm not.
What do you mean you're not? You be CrossFitting. That's different.
We don't run.
Exactly. I'm a runner. I'm a track star.
We're not.
She gonna run away when it gets hard, okay?
4 miles is just a really long time. Like, I dread walking to my car from restaurants.
How far do you park?
I don't park very far. I don't like to walk.
Oh, okay, noted.
Yeah, I'm just, like, thinking, no, there's no possible way she was like, I'm gonna walk 4 miles.
First of all, don't let Brooke lie to you, because she's like, I don't want to walk 4 miles, but she took us on this insane hike when we visited her last summer. So, like, don't even pull that.
Yeah.
And this is like the first time I visited Brooke. Side note real quick. And here's the thing. When I am hot.
Oh, yes.
When I'm hot, I have RBF hardcore. So the whole hike, I had RBF. And Brooke is like, mm-hmm. Are you okay? Are you having a good time?
I was asking our other friends too.
Like literally was just like making sure I was all right. And I was like, I'm fine. I'm just literally dying inside.
This is when Ashley realized that the south heat and the north heat are very different heats. And she looked at me at one point. She goes, why are my elbows sweating? I'm confused.
They were sweating.
And I was like, yeah, that's just Alabama. Yeah,
it was brutal. Mm-hmm. Brutal. And rant. But unfortunately, Katie would never make it home. So the next day, on June 7th, 1992, Katie's half-naked body was found in Farnborough in an alley. The location of her body caused law enforcement to scratch their heads because it was about 4.3 miles in the opposite direction of where she lived. So she literally had no business being where she was found.
So let's just put into perspective. She walks out of the bar. Her house is to the right, four-ish miles.
Mm-hmm.
But she was found four-ish miles to the left.
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. So Katie had a total of 32 stabs a combination of stabs and slash wounds on her. Mm-hmm. Most of these wounds were on her face, breasts, and genitalia.
So it was like hatred.
Yeah.
Like that's a hate crime.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And after further investigation, it was discovered that Katie was stabbed over a long period of time, which suggested that whoever committed this awful crime found joy in torturing her and kept it ongoing. Yeah. Was
she found in a public place?
I mean, an alley isn't very public.
It's not very public, but I guess what I'm wondering is it's not public, but it's also easy to walk by an alley and kind of glance down an alley.
I would assume so. I mean, because she was found the next day.
Right. So, yeah. But this is also 4 a.m. in the morning. So the streets are probably not super busy.
Yeah. So 4 a.m. But so she was found so when I say 4 a.m., I know I mean 4 a.m. on the 7th. So they went out on the 6th, right?
Mm-hmm.
4 a.m. on the 7th is when they headed out. And then so I can't. Did they talk about a time? They never gave a time when her body was found, but her body was found that day.
But daylight had come up in
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
It was also discovered that some of her injuries occurred after she was dead.
That always bothers me.
Like, why? According to sources, due to the nature of the crime, the police determined that the person they were looking for was a male in their 20s to 30s that was strong enough to execute such a violent crime. I didn't put this in here, but one YouTube source that I was watching for this stated that some of the stabs went through and through, through her body.
And I guess it plays out from what you just said, is Katie smaller? Because I'm pretty thick and I don't think that you're gonna get a blade through and through for me.
I mean, with enough force, probably. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We got a lot of meat.
Yeah. Now that I think about it.
So I'm just picturing her as a smaller girl, but regardless, my mind went to a male too because mm-hmm. of the one, the amount of stab wounds, two, the amount of force, and three, the placement of the stab wounds. And this is definitely, to me, the domination and seeking fear in your victim mm-hmm. is one thing. To me, you take it to a whole another level, and there's something psychologically, there's obviously something psychologically wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's even deeper than that when you do something post-mortem.
Yes.
Because you're getting nothing from the victim at that point.
Yeah, so they're already gone. So you literally just find joy in this.
Exactly.
You literally,
and that
enjoy.
To me is even worse.
Mm-hmm. And to piggyback on what you said, because you initially thought it was a male too, and also she was found half naked. So that can also indicate that, some type of violation possibly happened.
Uh-huh.
And because they were so geared towards her genitalia and her breasts, that could signal that it was a male as well. So I don't think the police were off for thinking that.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. So because it was 1992, there wasn't much surveillance or CCTV footage for the police to comb through for leads. So they went back to her last known location, which was Ragamuffin's. And they asked around, asking if anyone had seen her, if she had met someone in the club, if she had left with somebody from the club, etc. and etc. But despite all of their efforts to locate Katie's killer, all of their leads were leading nowhere and they were at a standstill. And they would be at the standstill for 2 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing?
Nothing. Nothing. Like, they would find people, they would have alibis, you know, nothing just produced any substance enough for them to be like, you did, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So exactly 2 years to the day.
That's crazy how things like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
June 7th, 1994, police were called to Collingwood College in Surrey. A student, Anne Marie Clifford, was stabbed in the back in the girls' bathroom by her classmate, 14-year-old Sharon Carr. According to Anne Marie, Sharon lured her into the bathroom by saying that she had lost a coin. And now I immediately was just like, wow, she must be a really kind person to help somebody look for a coin, because it's literally just a coin. Do you know how many coins I got in my car? Just chilling, hidden in places in my purse.
Like a quarter?
I mean, we're in the UK, so they don't have quarters. What is it, pounds over there?
They have pounds. But 1 pound is still like a dollar to us. Like, I'm not going to help you come look for a dollar.
I do remember seeing something about a half a pound or something with a pound. Like, are there, I don't know the system over there.
Yeah, so they have the pound, but I'm just saying that 1 pound...
isn't a significant enough. That's why I'm saying, like, she must be...
is $1.18. In the USA.
Literally. So I'm just like, so you lost the coin? Like, go anywhere and you'll probably find it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I'm not helping you find it.
Yeah, because I wouldn't help to find that daggone coin.
I'd be like, here's one out of my pocket.
Right. Well, it turns out that everyone, Anne Marie included, was terrified of Sharon. According to sources, she was a bully and very aggressive. So when Sharon asked her about helping her find her missing coin, she figured that she should help her or Sharon would hurt her if she did not.
Mm, so like beat her up.
Yes.
Is where this other girl's mind went.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When she entered the bathroom, Sharon knocked Anne Marie onto the floor. Now, my source goes on to say that Sharon proceeded to slide the knife under her body while laughing disturbingly. And I when I tell you I read this like 10 times, I was like, slid the knife under her body while laughing disturbingly. And like I mentioned, I've been working hardcore for the past 2 weeks on setting up my classroom, getting it ready for the first day of school. And like Brooke was a few weeks ago, my brain is legitimately mashed potatoes. So, Brooke, do you have any idea what this means?
You said that she knocked her on the floor.
She knocked her on the floor.
Okay, so now both girls are clearly on the floor.
I don't know if Sharon is on the floor because she just knocked Anne Marie down. So I feel like she pushed her and Anne Marie is on the floor and Sharon is standing up.
So, but the quote reads, slid the knife under.
I know. Like, is that just some like UK talk that I just don't understand?
In American talk, that's that they're both on the floor and she was sliding the knife around under her while smiling and laughing.
But under who? Like, are they both laying on the ground?
Yeah, that's a little
weird. Like, the way I picture it is she's standing above the girl laughing and just pulls out a knife.
I do too. The knife could, well, then the other girl would have an opportunity to grab it. So I was thinking that, yes, she could be standing up, knocks her on the ground. The knife is on the ground. She's sliding it between her feet.
Child,
kicking it back and forth, I guess.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one confused because I really thought you were going to be like, Ashley, it's X, Y, and Z. But this is the wording just threw me off.
Yeah.
It just threw me off. Okay.
Huh.
So Anne Marie was about to get away from Sharon. However, while she was attempting to flee the bathroom, Sharon stabbed her in the back with a knife.
Just like, ah.
Yes. Just like she was trying to get, she was like literally, so she got pushed on the ground. I don't know if there was like a tussle or anything, but she was able to get up and attempt to leave the bathroom and she got stabbed in the back.
Yeah, fight or flight, man.
Mm-hmm. So thankfully, due to Anne Marie's scream, students walking by in the hallway were able to intervene to prevent Sharon from injuring Anne Marie further. Despite receiving a punctured lung in the attack, Anne Marie did make a full recovery and was able to testify against Sharon in court.
Which, good.
Yes. Great. Fantastic.
And one, this Sharon girl is obviously a piece of crap anyways, because she was bullying people constantly.
Yeah.
And everyone's walking around terrified of her. Mm-hmm. So you gotta go.
Yeah. G2G.
Yeah.
So according to sources, Sharon was taken to a psychiatric hospital, and due to the attempted murder of Anne Marie, she was sentenced to 2 years in a prison for juvenile offenders.
That's probably due to her age.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in typical Ashley fashion, I'm going to give you some background information about Sharon Carr before continuing, just so you have a better idea of how she got to, like, stabbing her classmate.
Mm-hmm.
So Sharon Carr was born December 21st, 1981 in Belize. According to sources, Sharon and her family were living way below the poverty line, like so much so that Sharon and her siblings were constantly going without food. Mm. On top of that, Sharon's father was a raging alcoholic that would get violent while under the influence, and her mother was a very aggressive and angry woman. She would give extreme punishments to the children. One source stated that these punishments included putting pepper on the children's genitals and burning their bodies with cigarettes.
Oh my God.
Pepper on their genitals?
I don't know what that would do, but I don't want to find out.
Like, I'm 100% sure that whatever these children may or may not have done absolutely did not warrant this kind of punishment.
100%. Nothing warrants this.
Nothing. So clearly, with that being said, Sharon and her siblings had an incredibly traumatizing childhood. However, like we always say, just because you've been through something traumatic does not give you the excuse to harm other people.
Correct.
There are plenty of people who have been
through the ringer.
Through the ringer. And they turned out to be amazing people because they mm-hmm. chose to do better for themselves. And I understand that some people just don't have that power. Or the help or the inner strength or whatever you what it is. But like this being traumatized as a child, although we understand like, the X, Y, and Z happened. So it makes sense why you would do that. You know what I mean? Based on what you've been through. Mm-hmm. But you always have a choice. Always.
You do. You always have a choice. And even if resources or things that you just described are not readily available to you or mm-hmm. someone else, you will do whatever it takes to just be a better person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if that means going to school and being everyone's friend
mm-hmm.
and helping everyone. If you have nothing physical to offer because you live below the poverty level, I promise you karma is a real thing and it would pay off tenfold.
Absolutely.
Just be a better person.
Just be a better person. If you've never learned anything from Teachers Talk Crime, be a good human being.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you know the pain that you felt that was inflicted by someone else,
mm-hmm.
why would you want to give that same pain to someone else? And I get that it's a coping mechanism, mm-hmm. and a lot of children don't know how to control their emotions. And that is something that comes with adulthood.
Yes.
But again, it is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you wake up every day and you have to choose.
Am I going to be a better person or am I going to be horrible?
Yeah.
And always choose to be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Or at least try.
Yes. So Sharon's mother eventually left their father for a British soldier who was on a mission in Belize. So when it was time for him to go back home to England, the two decided to get married and move to Surrey, England with the children.
I was wondering how they were going to get to England.
Mm-hmm. And now I said children, but like one source said the children and like another source said that she went with just Sharon. But like it seems like she just went with just Sharon, which like, well, why didn't you take them all? Like,
yeah,
you know, because they're obviously going through the abuse at the hands of the father as well. So like you found you a man and you decided to take one kid and not them all. I just don't understand that. But whatever.
You know, if we're giving benefit of the doubt, maybe she did, and maybe the sources just got it wrong.
Maybe. That's also true.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Now, I stated before that Sharon's mother was a very violent woman. I never understand this. Like, how on earth did he not see this and run for the hills? Like, if you were that angry of a human being, You can't max that.
However, could her anger have stemmed from the previous husband's alcoholism and they were just a toxic breed together?
That's a possibility.
It could be.
That's a possibility. I mean, yeah.
However, also, it doesn't sound like these two knew each other very long.
That's what I'm saying.
You can mask crazy for a little while.
Yeah. But she masked it long enough for them to get married.
True.
Wild. True. So, like, for him, I assume that their family's condition didn't change when he entered the picture. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like things were still chaotic. And you had to have seen the state that her children were in. And you just didn't question that. And you were like,
there's a ton of neglect there. And how do you not see it?
Right. And it's just like, all right, babe, like, let's move to England.
Your kids look a little malnourished, but, you know.
Yeah. It's just very, it's very weird to me. It's very weird. Anyway. So the grass was indeed greener on the other side in England. And they weren't living below the poverty line anymore. They got to eat regularly, had a nice home. Sharon was even able to go to school and make some friends.
Good.
Mm-hmm. She even joined the school's basketball team.
Huh.
And things were really looking up for her. Unfortunately, as time progressed and Sharon got used to her new normal, Sharon became aggressive. She was acting out in school, hanging out with the wrong crowd, committing petty crimes with these new friends, and even smoking marijuana regularly.
Sounds like to me the apple's not falling very far from the tree.
You know, because the word aggressive is just sticking out because she was aggressive. Her mom was aggressive. And it's
her
also
dad was aggressive.
Yes. And it's probably also learned behavior. I mean, she's in that environment as a young child. She's probably seeing it. It was probably normalized, you know, like she thought that that's how things were supposed to be.
This is how women have to act to get what they want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So around the same time that all of this is going on with Sharon, Sharon's mom's new husband decided that he wanted no parts of this anymore, and he wanted a divorce.
That's valid.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine like a combination of Sharon and her mom's behavior, because again, they're both aggressive human beings, was a lot to handle.
Well, too, you have to understand, though, and some people will be like, well, you know, that's not his kid, and if he loves... No. When you marry a woman with kids, you also marry her kids.
Period.
Yeah. And if you're not going to help her raise these kids and be a father figure, then it's going to weigh a lot on you.
Mm-hmm. It is. When he tried to break things off with Sharon's mom, she wasn't having it. She was not a fan. And being the aggressive and angry woman that she is, she threw a pan of hot oil at him.
Oh, dang.
Now, I was cooking dinner for myself and the twins the other day. And a tiny bead of hot olive oil landed on my hand. And I was like, eek! You know what I mean? Like, it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't even imagine an entire pot of that on my body.
He has, like, what's the worst burns you can get? Like,
third degree?
He probably has third degree burns.
And here I go into my next part. With that being said, this action gave him severe burns.
Mm-hmm.
And I also imagine that after this, he was like, yeah, your nuts gotta go. Okay, bye.
Yeah, you thought that maybe we could work it out. We cannot.
No. This is unfixable. It's broken forever.
How would you even come back after hot oil was thrown on you?
You know, some people are just toxic. You know what I mean? Like,
you're right. Yeah, you're right.
You know, so I can't say it's never been done. You know what I mean?
You are correct. But he was like, no, I'm out.
Yeah.
Okay.
According to him, Sharon was present for this whole entire ordeal and was not affected by it one bit. Not a change in facial expression, not trying to stop it, nothing. She just stared blankly as it happened.
Ooh, that's scary.
But like we were talking about a little while ago, we know that her life in Belize was very traumatic. And she saw things that a child should never see. So part of me thinks that she was just desensitized. To this and that's why
this was not shocking to her.
Exactly. So that's what I think is why she was like that. But I mean, it could also be because she's crazy, but you know, from everything that I read, I would say that, you know, she was just unbothered because she was so used to seeing traumatic things happen.
Yeah, violence didn't trigger anything in her. She was just like, oh, this is not new.
Mm-hmm. So my sources were unclear when this actually began, but Sharon's mother actually started to teach her about voodoo.
Okay. So that's what 13-year-olds need to know about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't even know what age she is at this point, but nobody needs to know. I mean, some people, if you do voodoo, that's your jam, you know, rock out. But like a young child, that's a no for me.
And if you have my voodoo doll, like if you want to put a few dollars in its hand.
Yeah. Or if you, just want to.
You could do that.
If you just want to, you know, shed off like my stomach, I would like that.
Ooh, yeah. Take I would the really, stuffing out of my stomach.
Too. I would really like that. That would be really. Mm-hmm. And my thighs. Because my thighs, I just want them to slim down just a little bit. But
and if you could take the pin that you have in my elbow, my left elbow out, that'd be great.
Yeah. And if there's a way for you to make me less like OCD-ish, that would be helpful as well. Because like, child, it's exhausting. Anywho. Sharon began killing animals for ritual purposes.
Red flag.
And we already know. We already know. That is red flag numero uno.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing they like look at.
Yeah.
Like literally any killer that we, that people know of, even the big killers are like, yeah, I was killing animals to fight urges or just to see how it felt.
Yeah. And normally they felt like a joy. And I just don't understand that. That's, ugh. Ugh. Makes me.
Mm. Yep.
So according to one source, Sharon also began killing Is that what I just said? What?
You did. You the said words. That. Yeah, that's exactly what
the
you said.
The words out of my mouth are broken.
She began to pick pecans.
Yeah, pecans, yeah. According to one source, Sharon began killing animals for fun as well. Neighborhood pets were going missing and some even turned up headless.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And apparently everyone knew it was Sharon because she was known for her outright aggressiveness. But no one would address her about it because they were legit afraid of her.
I mean, she's out here killing animals and practicing voodoo. What if she went home and made you a voodoo doll?
Mm-hmm. Like grown adults were afraid of this girl.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
She seems very scary.
I could 100%.
And looking at her, like the picture that that is posted today, like just look at the picture because she looks scary.
Mm-mm.
She looks scary. She looks crazy. She looked cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Yes.
Oh, Sharon.
Mm-hmm. So Sharon is exhibiting a very large amount of red flags. She is killing animals. She's aggressive. She's a bully. She has insane amounts of childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And with that all being said and everything that I've laid out about Sharon, we're going to take it back to 1994. And I'm sure you all are wondering, what in the world does Sharon have to do with Katie Ratcliffe?
Yeah, a 14-year-old. Yeah.
Well, let's get into that. So if you remember, Sharon was only charged with 2 years for the attempted murder of her classmate, Anne Marie.
In a juvenile detention.
Yes,
center.
Which... juvenile or not, like, yikes on tikes on bikes.
For a kid, that's jail. Like, I mean, that's what they're seeing it as. They're not separating the two. I mean, in their heads, went to jail.
I mean, yes, but, like, the maliciousness of what she did, like, I'm sure Anne Marie told them, like, hey, she was, like, literally laughing in here.
Yeah. And it sounds as though it was a little premeditated.
Yeah.
Because you didn't lose no coin.
You did not. You did not. It just doesn't make sense to me. I feel like we say this on every episode. I just don't understand how sentencing works. Like, it just, like, you know, so 2 years sounds about right, right? Okay, cool. Like, that.
Y'all good with that? Okay, y'all good with that? Cool.
That's not about enough time? All right, bet. 2 years it is. Like, that?
Yeah.
I don't understand. So, not to mention, Anne Marie suffered so much trauma from this event. Like, she had nightmares and her dad had to sleep at the foot of her bed sometimes. So as Sharon's 2 years was approaching, I'm sure that Anne Marie was absolutely terrified that she'd come back to finish what she started.
I was about to say, I'd be terrified too. You're only 16 years old when she gets out.
Mm-hmm. Like that.
You can't even escape to college. You can't even escape to like move because you're still under your parents' guardianship.
Mm-hmm. Like it's, ugh, that poor girl.
We would have loaded up and gone to the U.S.
Yeah, we would have been out. I mean, again.
Canada.
Again, UK, I hear Ireland. Y'all great over there, but like all these cases is just like, maybe I just need stay over here. I mean, America's a little ghetto. It's a little ghetto. Like, I'm not tooting my horn for America either. Let's be clear.
Yeah. How about we all meet up in Canada?
Let's just go. Oh, Canada.
See y'all there.
I mean, these murderers wasn't
Yep. Jeremy Steinke.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody else from there. I can't remember who, but it's just not as frequent as the UK. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
However, getting back to the story. Wanting to be the center of attention, Sharon begins bragging about a murder that she committed when she was 12 years old.
Yikes on tykes on bikes.
Remember, Sharon...
2 years to the date.
Yeah, here we go. She stabbed Anne Marie 2 years to the day that Katie's body was found.
You know what's scary? Is if Katie being vulnerable, and I'm sure you're going to say all of this, being vulnerable the way that she was after a breakup and seeing a child, a legitimate child, mm-hmm. in the middle of an alley, that child could have said anything and Katie would have been like, yeah, let me help you.
Well, it didn't end up like that, I'll tell you that, but I see what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
I see what you're saying.
That was my theory.
No, but girl, we going to get to it.
Oh, God.
So with her, 12 years old. So with her spreading these rumors around, you know, her timeline is absolutely lining up here. And of course, this got all the inmates talking and the rumors of Sharon's first murder began circulating through the Juvenile Institute. So clearly the guards heard this rumor as well and they relayed the information to the police and the pieces were fitting together. The information that she was disclosing matched up to the details in Katie's murder, so they decided to bring her in for questioning. Fortunately for the police, as soon as she got in that room, she started singing like a canary.
Ooh.
Brooke, she talked and she talked and she talked about the murder that she had committed for hours.
Mm.
Hours. According to sources... there were a total of 27 hours worth of interviews with Sharon. That's over a day, bro.
Is there not a book on this girl?
I'm not sure about that.
Because, Lord, this seems like she could have a lot to say in a book.
Yeah. So, like, what are you doing 26. Spending 27 hours?
Did we start the story at birth?
Well, she might have.
And, like, you know that scene from The Goonies where... You ever seen The Goonies?
No.
What?
No.
The Goonies is a classic.
Sorry.
So they're treasure hunters. Anyways, these bad men like kidnap one of the kids and they're like trying to get him to talk because they think that he knows where the treasure is. But the kid is like sitting there and he's like, okay, I'll talk. He's like in third grade. One day I put gum in Sally's hair. Like, just started from the very beginning of the first bad thing that he ever did.
Yeah.
And they're like, no.
That's literally not what I'm asking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, they got annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Sharon walked in and was like, well, in kindergarten, this is what happened. And mm-hmm. from my earliest memory, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And this is what my dad is like.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she just needed somebody to listen. I don't know.
Yeah.
So police knew that Sharon was responsible for Katie's death when she disclosed. Police knew that Sharon was responsible for Katie's death when she disclosed that she had stolen Katie's bracelet after the attack. This was something that the police were aware of, but never disclosed to the public.
Like a trophy.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Correct. According to Sharon, this is what happened. Sharon was driving around with two older men. And I'm guessing these are her bad news bears friends that I was talking about earlier that she was hanging around with, like doing crimes with, smoking with, like all that.
She's 12.
Yep. Girl.
You're driving around with me. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep. So while driving, they saw an intoxicated Katie walking alongside the street and they offered her a ride, which Katie accepted. At some point during the car ride, Katie had an inkling that something bad was going to go down. So she literally jumped out the car while it was still moving and booked it.
Good for her. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Sharon chased after her and pushed her down and began stabbing her. And as I know you all are wondering, Ashley, what happened to the man that she was with? She was in the car with two men. What happened to them? Well, once they realized that Sharon was absolutely cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and was literally chasing after Katie, they dipped.
But they don't want no part of that. We're just here to smoke weed.
Yeah. They dipped and left Sharon to do the unthinkable. Now, if you recall from the beginning, Katie was stabbed 32 times. And as I've said, Sharon was 12.
That's a lot of
at the time.
How, a lot of hatred.
Like, how in the world do you possess that much strength? I am a 32-year-old woman, and I, no.
I mean, they do say adrenaline can do a lot of things, and she had a lot of pent-up anger.
Yeah.
That still doesn't, like, it just, to me, doesn't make sense. If you had told me that Sharon got out, caught Katie, and then somehow the men were involved, mm-hmm. I would have believed that.
Yeah.
More than I'm believing a 12-year-old went through and through.
Mm-hmm.
On a stab wound.
Yeah.
I mean, is it possible? Yes. Is anything possible? Yes. But that's insane.
Yeah, it's wild. So this happened like when she ran. Some sources said she like they were at a park and parked. And some say that she ran through a park when Sharon caught up to her. So Sharon possessed so much strength that she was able to drag Katie's body to the alley where she was found later that morning. Mm. And according to one source, Sharon gave police the names of the two men that she was with that night, and they were able to provide alibis for each other and were let go, which I understand. There's no evidence tying them to the murder. But also on the other hand, like y'all just left her there and thought what was going to happen.
So I'm wondering, like, you know, they realize she's chasing. At what point did they leave? So there's many scenarios here.
Mm-hmm.
Katie jumps out of the moving car.
Yeah.
Sharon is now jumping out of a proceeding to stop car.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, wow, this girl's crazy. Like, we ain't chasing after her.
Yeah.
And then they leave and they know nothing of what's about to happen. Or
mm-hmm.
they follow in the car. See her attack her, not maybe the stab wounds, but maybe like the pushing down and like the beginning processes of the killing.
Yeah.
And then are like, oh, no, we got to dip.
Maybe. It could go either way, honestly.
It could. And I'm wondering, like, how much information did you provide for police? Or were you like, Bob, I got you. Bill, I got you. Okay, that's our story.
Mm-hmm. But also, it's just like, I know this was like all over the news. So once you saw her, you didn't think like, oh, let me go.
Like, dang, we were with this 12-year-old girl that jumped out of a moving car to go chase that girl.
Yeah, especially if you weren't a part of it.
Right.
So,
well, but if they're overage, they could have maybe assumed they were going to be tied in with the underage part of it.
Maybe. Mm-mm.
I don't know.
So police searched Sharon's home for any additional evidence. And I mean, someone this violent, she could possibly be responsible for other crimes in the area, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So upon searching the home, they found Sharon's diary. In the diary were detailed entries about Katie's murder, how much she enjoyed it, and plans for future murders.
Wow.
One of her entries states the following. I am a killer. Killing is my business. And business is good. I was born to be a murderer. Killing for me is a mass turn on, and it just makes me so high I never want to come down. Every night I see the devil in my dreams, sometimes even in my mirror, but I realize it was just me. I bring the knife into her chest. Her eyes are closing. She is pleading with me, so I bring the knife to her again and again.
So she believes she was just born this way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That none of her trauma had anything to do with this.
It was just she was born to do this. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And this also shows how she got the name the devil's daughter, because she's seeing the devil in her dreams. Sometimes she's seeing the devil in her mirror. And oop, just kidding. It's me.
Well, Sharon, I think that you already know where you might be going.
Mm-hmm. So you might be spending time with your dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a little terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's still alive?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I'll get into that.
Okay. Mm.
Sharon was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 12 years for the murder of Katie Ratcliffe in March of 1997. Due to the age that she was when she committed the crime, Sharon is the youngest female killer in Britain.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So she got the attention she wanted.
Yep. And she's about to get more.
So the minimum, meaning like no matter what happened, she was at least going to serve 12 years.
Yes. But I don't understand life in prison with a minimum of 12 years. Like, what happens after 12? Like, you in there for life.
I just guess I thought a life sentence was life.
You know, like, what?
It's kind of like in the name.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's forever.
But a lot of people say that a life sentence, if it was truly a life sentence, then it's really a death sentence because you're ultimately dying in prison.
Yes, exactly. Completely agree. So,
I've heard that on a podcast, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Sharon was initially put in jail, but was causing entirely too many issues there. According to one source, she was attacking other prisoners as well as the staff. She was moved to several different prisons, but was sent to Broadmoor Hospital on June 16th, 1998, due to the Mental Health Act of 1983. And I had no idea what this is. So according to a quick Google search, the Mental Health Act 1983 is an act of the Parliament of the United Kingdom. It covers the reception, care, and treatment of mentally disordered people, the management of their property, and other related matters, forming part of the mental health law for people in England and Wales.
So basically they reevaluated her and determined that she's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And a regular prison environment
was not suitable for her.
Right.
Yes. So while she was there, she was quickly diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder.
We just talked about schizo disorder.
Right. So schizoaffective disorder is when symptoms of schizophrenia, delusions, paranoia, and hallucinations join with madness and depression.
Sounds like her mom.
Yep, it just sounds like a big bowl of mess. Mm-hmm. So Broadmoor Hospital was a mixed-sex hospital. So in 1999, Sharon met Robbie Lane.
Hmm.
Yes, and you see, Robbie was also in there for murder. He murdered his mother.
Oh, I love of murderers.
He murdered his mother and gouged her eyes out.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. According to my source, the two met during a recreation period at the hospital and quickly began spending supervised time together. During these times, they were allowed to kiss and cuddle.
Did she get pregnant?
No, ma'am. However, wow. 2 years later in 2001, the two were set to get married. They were going to get married. However, according to one of my sources, apparently they were reading a newspaper article about their wedding, and in the article were details about their crimes.
Oh, God.
And I'm guessing neither of them, like, knew what the other had done because they were so shocked by what the other had done that they called off the wedding.
Are we joking?
We're not. We're not. Like, according to a male nurse who worked in the hospital, he stated they both stormed out of the room after seeing the article, apparently disgusted by the ferocity of each other's murder. They won't even talk to each other now. It is quite amazing that two convicted murderers who fell in love behind bars could be revolted by one another. Which, yes.
But I wonder if it was like a power thing. I wonder if it was like they felt like the other kind of outdid them.
Maybe.
Because you know how killers are.
Mm-hmm. Another source from the hospital stated the wedding plans were thrown in the bin after Sharon read that Lane had gouged his mother's eyes out. And it seems Lane was pretty disgusted by the sadistic murder carried out by his bride-to-be.
I'm not really sure either one of them have room to judge.
And also, like, I'm just curious what the small talk was, like, getting to know each other and how, like, murder did not just make its way into the conversation. You guys are literally both locked up.
Yeah, like, the conversation of how did you get here didn't come up.
There you go.
Because that's the first thing I'm asking.
Like, I'm just staying for a little bit. I'll be out. What?
Yeah.
And especially...
Oh, it's a misunderstanding.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm not really here. But we all know, like, Sharon likes to talk about herself because, like, she's there because she was bragging around the juvenile place that, you know, oh, I killed this girl when I was 12.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know how I feel about that one. Because I'm just, the math ain't math.
No, it's not. It's not at all. Mm-hmm. So Broadmoor Hospital became a male-only facility in 2007. So Sharon was moved to HMP Bronzefield in Southwest London.
She got to go.
Mm-hmm. The most recent update there is on Sharon is from 2020. Apparently, Sharon challenged her restricted prisoner status, and High Court Judge Mr. Justice Julian Knowles denied her permission to seek a judicial review. And I couldn't figure out, like, what that meant, like, challenge her. Like, I'm thinking so she wasn't in such a high, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, a high...
high security?
Yes, a high security, like... facility.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe she was like, oh, I don't deserve this, like, think again.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like British terms for an appeal. Mm-hmm. Essentially.
Mm-hmm. So he made his ruling after it was discovered that Sharon was fantasizing about murdering another inmate.
Well, you know, we you probably need to stay where you are. Mm-hmm. Because we probably need to run some more tests, because yeah, things are not they're not getting better.
Mm-mm, they're getting worse. Like, you're in here for murdering somebody.
Oh, yeah. And I bet she was still keeping journals. You know she was still keeping journals.
She probably was.
Mm. Could you imagine what these things say?
No, I don't want to.
I don't want to.
I don't.
Yeah.
Mr. Justin Julian Knowles stated the following. Carr had disclosed thoughts of wanting to murder another resident by splitting her head open with a flask and throwing her down the stairs to snap her neck. He also said that the public would be at risk if they moved her to softer surroundings, which I'm assuming is a more lenient facility.
Mm-hmm.
With that ruling, she may possibly spend the rest of her days in a high security unit, which I think is best for everyone.
I think the public appreciates that quote.
Thank you for your service.
Especially if you've been in there since 97.
Mm-hmm. Well... she hasn't...
Not in that particular facility. Up. But you've been locked up since 1997. Mm-hmm. That is 26 years since the last we heard from her in 2020. Almost 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
24-ish years.
Yeah.
You have not progressed in 24 years.
And now you're in your 40s, bro. Like, you know...
And you still want to murder someone.
Yeah. Mm-mm. You gotta stay there. You gotta stay there.
Mm-mm.
You gotta stay there.
Like, even at this point in, like, Ted Bundy and all these killers and stuff, all of them, mm-hmm, even at this point in their, like, sentencing, they were, like, talking without handcuffs to reporters and journalists and just like, yeah, like, I made mistakes. Like, this is, you know, and we can work, you know, through it. And they were calm, cool, collective. Sharon over here is like, yeah, I still want to kill people.
Yeah.
My roommate looked at me long.
Yeah. Long. Like, now I'm fantasizing, mm-mm, about killing her. Like, what?
Mm-mm. Man. No.
And, like, if she's in such, like, a, like, what are they doing in that hospital? Because y'all need to come up with a different game plan. Because it's not working.
Change her meds.
Change something.
Yeah. She definitely doesn't need to be let out.
No.
Especially if we're in our 40s still wanting to kill people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No.
No, ma'am.
Yeah.
And that is our lesson on Sharon Carr, a.k.a. the devil's daughter.
Well, the devil. I don't even know what to say. I am, like, a little at loss for words for that one.
Okay, because I was trying to, I mean, it's a season ender. So I needed to, you know, bring you something that was wild.
A head scratcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, wild. I mean, granted, all of our cases are wild, you know. But, like, this one, like, what?
I'm just, like, I'm sure everyone else listening was like determined that you were about to say a boy. I would have even accepted a male teenager.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I would have accepted that.
And you know what I'm thinking about right now? I'm wondering, because remember how she was attacking the genitalia? Like, maybe that's linked to something, like, with her mother. Because you know how Absolutely. She was putting pepper on the, like...
Absolutely. Like, maybe... Everything had to do with her mother and father. Yeah. That's where all of the stuff stemmed from.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's it.
Ooh. Well, I'm just hoping she doesn't listen to this one. And she stays in the UK.
Yep. Stay UK over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well... That is season one.
Season one.
That's season
and
one.
That what's that show back in the day? And that's a wrap. You know what I'm talking about?
I can hear it, but I can't think of the show.
Yep. It was from the 2000s, wasn't it?
That's a wrap.
Mm. That's hold on. That oh, not the word that. That's
see, you Googling and I was gonna tell them to put it in the comments. Rap.
Oh, yeah. 2000 show.
Are you not finding anything?
No, we'll okay. probably just cut that part.
No, do that. We're not. If you guys know what we're talking about, drop it in the comments. Drop in the comments with a, ooh, what's a fun emoji? Like a back in the day emoji, like a clock emoji. Yeah. A clock emoji. Gosh, and what show was
that?
See, in my brain, I didn't hear that's a rap. I heard, like when you said that, I immediately thought of all that. But the intro.
Yeah.
It's stop and watch. It's all that. All like that. That's what I thought about.
All that. It's all. Yep.
Yep. I actually just started watching that on Netflix again. And like, I used to love that show. And now I'm like, some things I'll laugh at, but I look at the show like, dang. This is what I thought was entertainment.
Yep.
Like, wow.
That's
like
what we thought was
oh my gosh, when Amanda Bynes, her Ask Ashley skit, when I was a kid, I would always be like, Ask Ashley.
I hated her. Yes. I hated that one.
And then she on the Amanda show and she had like Dancing Lobsters or something.
Yes, she did. Yeah. She had the Dancing Lobsters. Yep. I also now as an adult who teaches children, I get annoyed with the orange soda. What's the, how does it go?
Oh, who loves orange soda?
Or soda.
I do.
Yes. I do.
I loved Kenan and Kel. That was my show.
I do love Kenan and Kel, but that one I think now because like as a teacher, I just my nerves can't really handle it.
And the funny thing is I do love orange soda.
Mary's been craving orange soda.
I do like orange soda. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And my dad always keeps cans in the fridge at the house. So shout out to my dad. But I don't think he buys it for me. I think he buys it for himself. And I just drink them all. So thanks, Dad.
That's okay. That's okay. That's what literally going to your parents' house is all about.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, that was season one. See you next week for our season two opener. Brooke is bringing it to you. And apparently, this joint is crazy.
Yes, it has everything in it.
Mm.
Everything.
Wow.
I mean, everything. A murder, a kid, a teacher.
An educator like us?
Like us?
Mm-mm, not my first day of school. No, today is my first day of school. And then the next Monday, I'll have off. So not after my first full week of school.
Yep.
Wow.
Yup.
Well, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
Bye.
Bye. Tell all your friends about Teach.com.
Podcast.